Welcome to News Kids. I'm Rose.
And I'm Zara.
And together, we're presenting this weekly podcast about what's going on in our world today. Each week, we cover top stories across world news, politics, science, technology, entertainment, and arts.
This week, we're talking about barcoding fish, growing fake burgers, obesity and healthy eating, the cyclone in Mozambique, the development of a new malaria vaccine for children, astrobees at the International Space Station, Japan's new emperor, the royal baby, and the London Marathon. It's Rose here. Last week on News Kids, I talked about climate change and how Greta Thunberg and David Attenborough have been talking about the climate emergency that our planet is facing. One of the environmental problems we have at the moment is that the fish in the sea are being very badly affected by overfishing and pollution. Overfishing means people taking too many fish out of the sea to eat and not leaving enough behind, meaning many species of fish are now endangered. The pollution of the world's oceans means fish often don't have clean environments to live in and are hurt by plastic and chemicals in the water. We talked a few weeks ago about the whale in the Philippines that was found with 40 kilograms of plastic in its stomach. I felt so sad reading about that whale. But also very small animals that live in the sea like mussels can grow up with tiny bits of plastic in them that we can't see. And people end up eating without realizing. So, scientists and environmental experts are trying to help people make better decisions when they shop for fish. If you go to a supermarket at the moment, there isn't much information about where the fish you buy has come from or if it was caught sustainably. Experts at the Worldwide Fund for Nature, or WWF, are working on a new technology called From Bait to Plate. That means every fish sold in supermarkets comes with a detailed label or barcode which tells customers its story, including how and where it was caught and even the name of the person who caught it. It will include location information which will help fish sellers understand if the fish may have been affected by pollution. The WWF hope that by making sure the journey that the fish make from the sea to our plates is completely transparent and traceable, it will make sure that seafood is caught appropriately and legally, and that the workers involved are fairly paid. While some of this technology has been around for several years, the new system's technology is significantly more detailed and is expected to arrive in New Zealand and EU countries later this year. It is very important that we think about our planet and the environment when we choose which foods we eat. I was interested to read the story this week about scientists who have found a way to grow a burger that contains no meat. That sounds super weird. The burgers are being grown in laboratories using cells from animals and plants, and it takes about 9 weeks for each burger to grow. There are different companies trialing this technology, including Impossible Foods, Moza Meats, and Beyond Meat. The burgers are not like veggie burgers, which are usually made from vegetables and pulses. These fake burgers apparently look and taste just like real meat. The point of producing these fake burgers is to try and reduce the environmental impact that is made when animals are reared with food. Farming livestock, which means animals raised on farms to produce meat, milk or wool, produce significant amounts of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane, and are one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emission after fossil fuels. I love learning how technology and science is making it easier for people to look after our planet.
Hello!
This is Zara, and I'm talking about obesity today. The word obesity means being so overweight that it's bad for your health. Doctors can work out if a person is obese by looking at how tall they are and how much they weigh. A recent study has shown how much of a problem obesity is in the UK and how weight gain greatly increases the risk of disease and death. The researchers carrying out the study using data from the National Health Service, the NHS, to look at what happened over 10 years to the health of people in 5 weight categories from normal weight through the most severely obese. They found that the people with the highest levels of obesity were running a high risk of a lot of serious illnesses and early death, with 12 times the risk of type 2 diabetes, 22 times the risk of sleep apnea, and nearly 4 times the risk of heart failure compared to those who are normal weight. The study was carried out by Novo Nordisk, the Danish pharmaceutical company that manufactures insulin from diabetes. A representative from the company said that the study showed that conditions linked to obesity were very high in the UK, and that it shows how much obesity is harming health in the UK. The representative also said that the number of people living with obesity had almost tripled worldwide over the last 30 years, and so these findings have serious implications for public health. So what can we do? Well, food is something everyone needs to eat to get energy, and all food and drink except water contains calories. If you eat more calories than you need, then those calories aren't used and the body stores it as fat. If you eat lots of extra calories, like a big chocolate bar, you should try and do some exercise to wear off that energy before it turns into fat.
What do you think about the story, Zara?
Well, we can make sure that we're eating healthily and make sure that we're doing a lot of fitness.
Is it important for children to learn about obesity?
Well, I think it is very important.
Yeah. It's good for children to learn for when they are grown up. So that's why they should know about obesity to be aware.
What do you eat to stay healthy, Zara?
I eat a lot of fruits every single day. I eat a lot of healthy things.
What do you do to stay active?
Well, I used to do swimming, but I don't now. And every Friday, I always ride my bike around my community, and I do a lot of netball.
Do you ever eat sweets or chocolate, Zara?
Well, I do, but I only eat it once in a while because everyone needs to have chocolates or sweets once in
a
while.
Do you eat any chocolates or sweets, Rose?
Just like maybe weekends or something when we're watching a movie. I only have like a couple, like 3 or 4 or something.
What's your favourite unhealthy food, Rose?
I would go for fried egg sweets. You know those little egg sweets? They're really nice and they look healthy, but they're actually sweets.
So nice. Well, my favourite is chocolate bars because I just love chocolate bar.
Do you know what's really weird? I actually hate chocolate and pizza.
How are you, my friend? How can you not like chocolate or pizza?
The chocolate is way too dark. And normally, pizza has cheese on it and it melts in the oven. And I do not like melted cheese.
Rose, I can't believe you don't like pizza or chocolate. I can't believe you're even my friend. Are you my friend?
It's okay to be different, Zara.
I guess you're right.
Hello, this is Zara. A heat storm called Cyclone Kenneth struck Mozambique last week. The storm hit Mozambique with winds of 220 kilometers per hour. About 38 people have died so far. Lots of people have been injured and about 35,000 homes have been destroyed. Aid workers have been trying to deliver food and medical supplies to people affected by the storm, but because of the weather conditions, it has been difficult for them to get help to the people affected by air. Mozambique continues to need urgent help to deal with the crisis. This is the second cyclone to hit the area recently. Earlier this week, a powerful cyclone
Cyclone Fani also hit India's eastern coastline. More than 1 million people in eastern India has been evacuated and 8 people have died. Reports have said that the storm is the biggest to hit eastern India in nearly 2 decades. Experts say it is too early to say whether or not the frequency of these cyclones is due to climate change, but they do think that the effect of the storms has been worse because of the things related to climate change. As sea levels rise, this flooding that results when there is a storm is much worse than it would have been without climate change.
Here's Hetty talking about AstroVs at the International Space Station.
AstroV robots are going into space. The United States Space Agency, known as NASA, is sending robots called AstroVs into space. The bees will be helping astronauts do their work on the International Space Station. The International Space Station is a huge laboratory that orbits the Earth. The astronauts go and live on the space station to do research. They run experiments to learn more about the world and how things work. And now they will have AstroBee robots to help them with their work. The bees are called Honey and Bumble. They are black and yellow and cube-shaped. They have cameras and a special helping arm. The cameras help the bees to move around and see things so they don't bump into anything. The robotic arm helps them to pick things up and do experiments. Because there is no gravity on the International Space Station, they move themselves around by flying with fans that blow the air. AstroBees can be controlled by a remote control or autonomously, which means all by themselves. The AstroBees will be doing various jobs, such as making an inventory, which is like a list. They can also monitor the air and sound in the space station. When their batteries start to run low, they can automatically navigate themselves back to power station to plug themselves in and recharge. They are very clever indeed. Because the bee robots are so helpful, it means the astronauts will have more time to do other jobs.
Here's Daya talking about the development of a new malaria vaccine for children.
Today I'm going to tell you about a new malaria vaccine which has been rolled out for tens of thousands of children in Africa. The RTSS vaccine trains the immune system to destroy the malaria parasite, which is bred by mosquito bites. Earlier, smaller trials showed that nearly 40% of 5 to 17 months old who received it were protected. Malaria case numbers appear to be increasing again after 10 years of success in fighting the deadly disease. According to the most recent figures, global malaria figures are no longer decreasing and people are getting worried. Malawi, Ghana and Kenya are the 3 countries which are taking part and using the vaccine to immunise 120,000 children which are 2 and below. Malaria is a big problem.
In 2017, it killed 435,000 people.
And most of them, children worldwide, and 290 million people were infected. Dr. O'Brien has stated that malaria is a difficult disease to develop a vaccine against, and this vaccine has been in the making for 30 years and has cost nearly $1 billion. Vaccine needs to be given 4 times, 1 month for 3 months and then 18 months later, and aim to reduce malaria by 40%. The trial is expected to be completed in 2023 and should hopefully reduce malaria and have successful results. Thank you for listening to News Kids.
Here's James talking about Japan's new emperor.
Emperor Akihito has become the first Japanese monarch to abdicate, which is a fancy word meaning to step down from power in more than 200 years. The 85-year-old was given a special permission to abdicate after saying he felt unable to continue. This is all because his health was becoming worse. At a special ceremony, Emperor Akihito thanked the people of Japan for their support during his 30-year reign. He was thanked by Japanese Prime Minister Mr. Abe for his and his wife's service. Mr. Abe says Emperor Akihito had stood by the people, giving them courage and hope.
Crown Prince Naruhito took over from his father Wednesday. Under him, a new era has begun for Japan called Reiwa, meaning order and harmony. Emperor Naruhito had a very different upbringing from his father. He was able to study abroad and went to Merton College at Oxford University from 1983 to 1985. The special subject he chose to study was the history of transport on the River Thames. His time at Oxford made a big impression on him. In his 1993 book, The Thames and I, he described his studies in Oxford as the happiest time of his life. As for Emperor Akihito, it is not known what he will do in his retirement, but he does enjoy gardening and marine biology, so he will certainly now have more time to spend on these hobbies. This is Ian reporting for News Kids.
Here's Isabella talking about the London Marathon.
Last Sunday was the London Marathon, launched in 1981. This is one of the world's most popular marathons. Over 444,000 people applied for a place this year. Just over 40,000 runners actually took part. Some professional runners, but more than half of all runners have never taken part in the marathon race before. How long is a marathon? A marathon is 26.2 miles long. When the modern marathon was first invented in 1896, it was around 25 miles, but it was made longer in 1908 at the request of Queen Alexandra of England. She asked for the finish line to be moved to the Royal Box at the Olympic Stadium so the youngest royals could watch the race from their nursery. 26.2 miles was confirmed as the official marathon distance in 1921. Why is the London Marathon so popular? London is an old and famous city with lots of well-known monuments and sites. Someone famous launches the race this year. It was British tennis champion Sir Andy Murray. Last year it was the Queen. The route starts in Greenwich and passes the Cutty Sark. Runners go over Tower Bridge and past the Tower of London, round the Isle of Dog and Canary Wharf, back along the river up to the Houses of Parliament. The runners finish on the Mall, just in front of Buckingham Palace. Thousands of people come to watch the race and cheer on the runners. So who won the marathon this year? In the elite races, Eliud Kipchoge won the men's race in 2 hours, 2 minutes and 38 seconds. This was a new course record and the second fastest time ever recorded anywhere in the world. Kenya's Bridget Koskei won the women's race in 2 hours, 18 minutes and 20 seconds. American Dan Romanchuk won the male wheelchair race, while Manuela Shah crossed the finishing line first in the female wheelchair race. Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, presented the winners with their awards. Another interesting fact about the London Marathon: lots of runners raise money for charity by asking people to sponsor them. Some people also run in fancy dress costumes. One man ran as Big Ben this year and had a problem squeezing under the finish line. Do you know anyone who has run a marathon or who is training for one? Do you think you would like to run one when you are older? Even if you don't enjoy running, it's great fun to watch your local marathon and cheer on people.
This is Zara, and I'm on Royal Baby Watch. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, are days away from welcoming their first child, who will be seventh in line to the throne and the eighth great-grandchildren of Queen Elizabeth. Now, here is what we know so far. The baby is due in early May, and we know that Prince Harry and Meghan want to celebrate privately as a new family first after the arrival of the baby, and so we are not expecting to see them greeting the public with their new arrival at the footstep of Lindo Maternity Unit at St Mary's Hospital in Paddington, London, in the same way as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge did when each of their three children were born. We still do not have confirmed news of where the Duchess of Sussex will give birth, but she's expected to follow in the footsteps of the Queen, with a home birth expected to be at their new home in Windsor. We don't know whether the royal baby is going to be a girl or a boy, and the couple have said that they would be thrilled with a baby boy or a girl. There is also a lot of suspense as to what the royal baby might be called. Most royal babies have quite traditional names. What we do know is that the baby will not automatically be a prince or princess unless the Queen steps in. Prince Harry's great-great-grandfather, King George V, limited titles within the royal family in 1917 so that only the oldest son of the Prince of Wales' oldest son, so that Prince William's son, Prince George, could be called His Royal Highness and a Prince. In December 2012, the Queen made new rules that said that all of Prince William's children would hold the title HRH and will be called Princes and Princesses. So far, that does not apply to Prince Harry's children, although he or she would, as the child of a duke, be able to use one of Prince Harry's other titles. So, for example, if it is a boy, he might be known as the Earl of Dumbarton, which is one of the other titles Prince Harry received from the Queen on the morning of his wedding. The Queen might give Prince Harry's child a completely different title. We will just have to wait and see. That's all on this story for now, but we will definitely be keeping you posted on News Kid.
That's all for this week. I really hope you enjoyed our show. Let me know what you think about our news stories. Goodbye from the News Kids.